May I read to you 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Father, give us understanding from your word. Grasp us and help us to grasp your word this morning. Guide us in wisdom and truth. Amen. John records that which he experienced and that which he wants us to know he experienced. You ever gone through something in this world you can't quite explain, but you feel you've got to explain it somehow? Maybe you go through something in this world and it just seems like, I don't know what that was, and it felt good to go through it. It felt good to, I experienced something others haven't. There are all sorts of unexplained things in this world. And by that, I don't mean to be too strange here. There's food I've eaten that's unexplained to me. There's certain things I've eaten that I'm like, I don't know how that tastes so good. I don't know why I can't stop eating it, but can't explain it. It happens. And there's other things that I can't explain just why I have such an absolute hatred for mayonnaise. But I do. Actually, maybe it's more unexplained why you don't have such a hatred in my mind. There are things out there we can't explain. Men and women can feel amazingly special by encountering something mysterious and unknown. Some of us here could tell of such things in our lives. There are plenty in this world that have tried to explain the unexplained with thoughts of ghosts or paranormal things or extraterrestrial things of secret government powers and abilities or anything else you could find in the X-Files. Our minds try to make some sense of things, even if our explanations in the end make no sense. For many, the unexplained things can be grasped at and tried to be explained as if it were God or a religious experience. For some, religion is often merely a way to make sense of a mysterious world, but many can do this without having a true knowledge of gospel faith. There are things that we can't explain that we try to explain, even if they don't make sense. And we try and tell others about it. And it can happen even with religion. Why am I starting this sermon series that way? John is getting to the heart of what he has experienced, what he has known, and what you need to know. And it's not grasping at straws. I was at a church one time, I've shared this many times, the sermon at that church was on feeling alone in the world. You've probably felt that way before, haven't you? Felt a little bit lonely in this world. And it was about feeling as if things didn't make sense and feeling hopelessness and despair. And the pastor had put up on the very expensive video board on both sides of him as he's talking about how it can feel as if we're alone in this world. The very letters in all caps with no spaces between them. GodisNowhere. And you just see that in light of that. Sorry, I didn't want to do it here. We don't have PowerPoint. But you just see it with that frame of mind. It's like, God is nowhere. And then he said, but maybe God is now here. And I'll tell you that I had hairs stand up on the back of my neck. And there were gasps in the very large auditorium at that moment of, it was a parlor trick. Really? I mean, he could have put in, aliens are nowhere. Okay, that doesn't work, because you can't say aliens is now here. But you get my point. You could have put, oh, it's nowhere. Maybe it's now here. You still make hair stand up on the back of your neck. John has experienced divine presence invade time and space. He has. And he is not trying to just make you feel that he has as he writes these words. He's not trying to just make you feel ethereal and spiritual that you may buy into what he's selling. It was no parlor trick. In John's gospel, not 1 John, but John, he says these words. Chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't have a lot of biblical background or you haven't been in church very long or that's confusing, let's explain it a little bit more in a moment. But just something that wasn't flesh became flesh. That in and of itself is rather arresting, isn't it? Now, when he uses the phrase the Word, he's talking about God himself became a human being. And the Word became flesh and dwelt, made his living among human beings like us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. What sort of glory is John reporting here? Glory as of the only Son from the Father, glory that is full of grace and truth. So he started his gospel. Here's what he writes in this letter. That which was from the beginning, which we ourselves have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, and which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the Word of life. The life was made manifest. We have seen it. We testify to it, and we proclaim it to you, this eternal life. What words? John's point echoes the Apostle Paul and others in Scripture with this incredible message that something has happened unlike anything else. Talked about this before. You should look upon creation and be, you should have the breath taken away at times. Totally hit. How anybody may see a beautiful sunset, snap a picture of it, and just be like, God's handiwork. I get it. Or looking to the stars and the heavens and seeing it and be like, the heavens declare the glory of God. They absolutely do. Romans 1 talks about everybody should be able to do that. And yet, even though everybody can do that, many reject the very God who's created it all. You know what Romans 1 says many have done? Instead of worshiping the God who created it, they worship the creation itself rather than the God who created it. That sinfulness, that rejection of God, that willingness to build our own idols or worship idols instead of the Creator, is there in our own hearts. If you're a believer today, you've been saved and redeemed and freed from that, but I bet there are times you still see the dusty places of, oh, how horrific. Even with God's creation being as beautiful as it is, and we can look at it and be like, wow, that's amazing. And it is. I want you to think back to all of the amazing things that happened in the scriptures. Think about the very first creation. Think about those early days. Think about the Garden of Eden. You ever seen a beautiful garden? Yeah, and I'm not talking about just somebody's backyard. I mean like one of those like just amazing, took a small army to do this and planning and everything else, and you just see, and it's just gorgeous and it takes your breath away. You could travel 30 minutes from here and see one of those, maybe a few of those. You could go out and view one of our lakes in the area and just sit out there on a certain night and wait for the sun. And again, it's all really nice. I'd love to go with you on some of those journeys and say, God is good. All of that is such a lesser glory compared to God sent forth his very own Son to take upon human flesh. And he dwelt among us. That which Paul refers to in Galatians 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. God himself says, the fullness of time wasn't the creation. The fullness of time wasn't the building of the temple. The fullness of time wasn't the putting forth all of the stars and glory. The fullness of time wasn't the Red Sea being parted. The fullness of time wasn't any of those things that were amazing. God says, in the fullness of time, I sent forth my Son to this earth. Hebrews 2:14. Since we, children in the flesh and blood, or who we are, he himself likewise partook of the same things. Jesus became flesh and blood so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, which is the devil. Think about these things. God sent forth his Son to take upon himself human flesh to die, to bring death to death itself, and to be raised from the dead. John is writing this because people are rejecting this. John is writing this letter because people are rejecting this very thing. In the name of Christ, Jesus, they're rejecting this. We looked at it last week, 2 John, verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist, he says. He says there's many antichrists who are proclaiming this. That Jesus did not come in the flesh. There are plenty of things that people could disagree about. There are plenty of ways in which men can worship the creation rather than the Creator. Men can create idols. Men can go into all sorts of nonsensical sin that we see in Romans. But John points out the one who says that Jesus did not come in the flesh is the Antichrist. The one who denies this most important of facts. 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard. John is talking about Jesus, who we'll describe later on as giving, has given himself as propitiation for our sins. Jesus, he says, he and those with him heard him speak. Now going back to that thing, my little weird introduction about those unexplained things, there are many. And if you ever see me cringe a little bit, I'm asking forgiveness here. If someone says to me, God spoke to me, and I'm not at any point judging the validity of that through what I'm about to say, but if you ever see me just, I'm not doubting it. I'm not condemning you. The reason I cringe a bit is because the Bible reveals that Jesus has absolutely spoken, and it has been recorded so that you will know exactly what he spoke, that you need to hear. And again, there is the unexplained phenomenon that we're all grasping with. Are you saying, Steve, you don't believe that the Lord speaks to us, leads us, guides us, still small voice, all of those sorts of things? I absolutely do. What I struggle with is I don't know how to explain it. Because it's definitely clear it is a bit mysterious, and we're all kind of coming up with ways of just describing how in the world this is. Some people say he spoke to me. Some people say he led me. Some people say, you know, all those sorts of things. He is working within us. I absolutely do not deny that. It is mysterious. We're even at union with him. Matter of fact, it's so mysterious and beautiful and wonderful that Paul says, when Christ is revealed from heaven, then you too will be revealed with him, because you are presently hidden in him in heaven. And you will actually be revealed. So it's to the point I can't even say what it means that we're presently with Christ in heaven. I can't explain it. So I try not to explain it without using the scripture. So you'll very rarely hear me say such a word, such a thing. And again, I'm not condemning here. I want to say this. There are some people, however, who feel special if they can say, God spoke to me. They can feel that it is their place, which is now, wow. That's amazing that the God of heaven has chosen to speak to me. God spoke to me. And I want to just help you one thing there. If you ever feel like, if you take that away, I don't feel special, read 1 John. That which was from the beginning, John says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest. We have seen it. I can tell you this. John saw the Son of God in the flesh. And we testify to you and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you. You don't need to feel any more special. That sounds brutal of me, doesn't it? than to have this very word delivered to you. If you want to find your worth and your value, you want to know that the divine nature has invaded our present reality, don't try to find it in an individual relation and an individual revelation to you. I totally believe that God works in every believer's heart. I do. Every believer's heart. So again, you don't have to find fulfillment that is just yours. It did. Every believer. What I want everybody here to hear this morning is you don't need to have... I should say this. I'm getting in trouble here. Read these words. And I want you to ask yourself this thought. Do you believe it? Or do you reject it? If you reject it, it doesn't matter what you say you've experienced. According to this very word, to reject it is to love darkness rather than light. To love darkness rather than light. The most important thing for you to hear this morning is you are at enmity with the God of all creation. And if you do believe these words, if your heart has been absolutely regenerated, you should feel absolutely singled out, specially called, divinely appointed, and that you have God's sovereign grace that has chosen to give you life and breath and eternal life because you have been loved more than any other love in this world could have. I want you to feel absolutely that special. Not because of the way you would describe God has led you, because what God has done for you and revealed in His Word. Every single believer has been blessed personally by God. Has been chosen personally by God. Has been loved by God Himself, who is loved now by God Himself, and who has God's word that has been spoken revealed to you right now. You don't need more special revelation than this. Again, I'm not discounting that God leads us. He absolutely does. But John's gospel, or anywhere in the scriptures, isn't saying that which was from the beginning, maybe God will speak to you something special. John says, we have heard it. We have heard the words of Jesus. John himself heard Jesus say these words, that God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. John heard those words. He says, I want you to know He spoke those words. There's more words than that. Sorry if I sound like I'm just picking out a few. There's plenty of others. He heard Jesus condemn men who thought that they were righteous and ultimately loved darkness rather than His light. Jesus spoke about that. John heard that, and he has recorded that and has revealed that to you, that you may know that Jesus said those things. He heard Jesus forgive the sins of the woman caught in adultery. He heard Him speak forgiveness to others whom the scribes and the Pharisees thought were beyond reconciliation. He has heard the Lord Jesus, and He has recorded these things and has given them to us so that we will know everything we need to know for this life and into eternity. Think about that. He has heard the very words of Christ. And that was physically, with his own ears, he heard. And John is writing, you want to know about the most important thing in the world? God has sent forth his Son who spoke to man. Then he says, we also saw with our own eyes. We looked upon him. He was among those who saw Jesus in the flesh and saw his divine nature as he healed men and women. John saw that and has revealed it to us, along with others in the scripture, so that we would have everything that pertains to life, even eternal life. We don't need other revelation. We don't need other stories of people who have died and seen the other side and come back and told us about it. We don't need those things. We need what the Son of God has revealed. And God has revealed things in a variety of ways throughout history. I'm not trying to say anything against the ways that God has revealed various things throughout history. Hebrews talks about it. God's spoken in all sorts of ways. He's spoken through the prophets. Prophets heard God himself revealed to them what they were to reveal to others. The author of Hebrews says, and in these days he has spoken to us through his Son. Remember what John records about the voice from heaven coming out? This is my beloved Son. Hear him. John heard him. John saw him. John saw him be betrayed, crucified, buried, and resurrected. And John says, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our own eyes, and that which we have touched with our own hands. I want you to think about this. John was among those who actually, literally, reclined and leaned upon Jesus, the Son of God. I heard him. I saw him. I touched the Word of life, John says. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the Word of life, the life was made manifest, took on human flesh. We have seen it and we testify to it and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and we have heard, we proclaim also to you. So that John knows his audience needs to hear this. He says it. I'm writing these things to you, not just so there's a historical record of it, not just for exposition, but so that you would be impacted by it, so that you too may have fellowship with us, which is indeed fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. They needed to hear this. John's audience needed to hear this. And so do we. The very things that are the most elemental truths of our faith were immediately under attack then, 2,000 years ago. John's writing this because there are some who are denying that Jesus came in the flesh. Back then, there were some in the church denying that. These same elemental truths can remain under attack now. But sadly, I don't even know that these truths need to be under attack when they're simply forgotten or taken for granted or relegated to something common instead of divinely special and world-changing. John's writing basically is echoing what Paul was writing that we just saw in Galatians. Paul was saying, you know what? There are people embracing a religion that is now obsolete. You could go back and you could actually read the covenant and the law that God gave, but something happened that means you shouldn't be under that anymore. What was that? In the fullness of times, God sent forth his Son. Changed everything. John's writing the same thing. God has sent forth his Son. And you need to know that. And even as religious organizations who may have it in their doctrinal guides, who may teach about it, have holidays to celebrate it, but practically speaking, they don't live as if the Son of God took upon human flesh. And there are witnesses that heard it, saw it, and touched the Word of life. We live in a culture that has gone from the sin of self-esteem seeking as if it's the greatest love in the world to a culture, that was my culture back in the 80s, we pop songs about learning to love yourself as the greatest love of all. My heart, he's still, that was us. We've gone from that to what do you think the logical outcome of that? We all could say, we kind of saw this coming. If the greatest love of all is learning to love yourself, oh, well now we've got a culture that's absolutely hopeless because we know ourselves and we're kind of depressed about ourselves. And now we live in a culture desperate to find value in things that have no value and now find ourselves dissatisfied with life. Friends, this should break our hearts when we see our family, our neighbors, our coworkers desperately seeking to feel unique, to feel special, to feel something, anything, to see them losing ourselves more than ever. And we have the answer recorded for us so that we can address this very thing. Dear friends, the God of heaven and earth, the creator of everything and the righteous judge of all, so loved the world that his only begotten Son took on the form of human flesh. John is telling us he saw it, he heard it, he touched it. And that changed everything for him. But here's the thing. This isn't that God says, oh, I'm going to have to do this every 20 years or so. Because if I don't, there's going to be no... I mean, this was such an amazing thing. Everybody needs to experience this. It's not it. You know, God changes everything from the fullness of times forward. By us telling others about what is recorded in Holy Scripture, which there are witnesses of, historical witnesses to it, that were so changed by it. They were willing to be persecuted and be put to death because they said, you need to know this happened. There is no other explanation except that God sent forth his Son in human flesh, to be despised and rejected of men. To be, even though he was speaking words overflowing with truth and grace, even though others would describe him as his lips with grace was overflowing, they wanted to put him to death. And they did. Same thing today. People, oh yeah, well, you should be non-judgmental, you should be loving, you should be gracious. Oh, look to Jesus. We hate him. In a world that wants to put forth the word love as if it is life-changing, And John's going to say, we have the answer to love. There is no greater love than what our Savior has done for us who do not deserve it. And the world still rejects him just as they did then. John saw this son. He heard this son. He leaned back and reclined and rested upon this glorious son. And there is something that he has dedicated his life to doing, to record these things so that you may know them. Listen to his next words and we'll conclude. Three passages from John. 1 John 1:5. John says, this is the message we have heard from him and we announce to you. He believes this is world changing, life changing, everything changing. This is the message we have heard from him and announce to you. That God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Dear friends, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Later in chapter 4, verse 9. By this, the love of God was manifested. Now, he's already talked about the Son of God. The Word has been manifest. He's come in the flesh. Now he's going to say the love of God has been manifested in us. How? That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Do you lack anything needed for your spiritual life based on this? Is there anything you need to have revealed to you specially beyond everything? God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Stop for a moment in case we're discounting this at all. Because if you're thinking, yeah, no, I need to feel special. I need God to speak to me and what he's revealed to me is this. What have we seen over and over again throughout the entirety of the New Testament? Two things are necessary: faith and love. What else do you need beyond those? And how are you going to understand love? You know what? I've never heard anybody come up to me, and I'm sorry if you feel uncomfortable, forgive me, we can talk later about this. I've never had somebody come up to me and say, you know what? God spoke to me. And he showed me what true love is. No one's ever come up to me with that. It's what the entire New Testament says. That's what you should be concerned with. It's already been manifest. We know what we need to know. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to take the place of us for our sins. Propitiation. Big word. God's wrath was coming to us for our sins. He, through the cross, stepped in and took the wrath that we should deserve upon himself. All of it. All of the wrath that we deserve. We'll face none of it. Well, okay. You're going to face a little of it, aren't you? I mean, none of it. That's grace. That's the gospel. To get that wrong is to get the gospel wrong. Beloved, if God so loved us, John says, we ought to love one another. And listen to verse 12. This one may... We're a few months away from this. 1 John 4:12. No one has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God abides in us. Abides in us. And his love is perfected in us. Chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come. We know that the Son of God has come. Again, John is writing. We know that the Son of God has come. There were those denying that he had come in the flesh. There are those today who deny his coming. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we are faced today with an important message